Speaking of stubborn stains, in The Big Question, is Greta Thunberg right that it's time to end capitalism? We'll hear from both sides on that one. Yes, it's time for The Big Question, in which we tackle a major news story of the day. Tonight, at her book launch this week, vegan teenager and eco-campaigner Greta Thunberg seemed to be in an even worse mood than usual, declaring the need to end capitalism. She said the Western world is in need of a system-wide transformation because capitalism is currently defined by colonialism, imperialism, oppression and genocide by the so-called global north to accumulate wealth that still shapes our current world order. At one point, she called capitalism racist. Interesting. But has she got a point about the way we do business in the West? With inequality growing and young people in this country unable to get on the housing ladder or escape low-paid work, is capitalism now failing the people? Are the days of the market economy numbered? To debate this, I'm delighted to welcome top financial commentator and wealth advisor Jonathan Davies, who is also a writer for the free Booms and Busts newsletter. And alongside him, a very warm welcome to Paddy Shannon, co-editor of the left-wing Bible, The Socialist Standard, the official magazine of the Socialist Party of Great Britain. Let's start with you, if I can, Paddy. Welcome to the programme. Do you think capitalism has essentially, failed the people? Does it need a rethink?
I think it's always failed the people. It failed the people right from the start. It's always been based on the private ownership of production. What it's done well is it's socialized production, and that's given civilization a rocket boost. So let's be quite clear. We're not saying that capitalism was some kind of terrible mistake. It was a stage that advanced human civilization massively. But what happened was while it socialized production, it kept the ownership of that production in private hands. And so what you've seen is a sort of inevitable development of a super-rich elite, which is getting smaller and smaller and richer, and the sort of consequent impoverishment of practically everybody else in the world and also of the environment itself. So, you know, the argument needs to be now, what do we put in the place of capitalism? How do we move on beyond the buying and selling system to a system of society that is more equitable and, you know, gives most of the people in the world, or all the people in the world really, a sort of reasonable standard of living instead of, as I say, giving all the wealth to the super rich and with the consequent impoverishment and sort of virtual economic enslavement of virtually everybody else in the world. So, you know, that would be my starting position.
Well, Paddy, you're right about the rich getting richer, but the poor have got poorer too. And we've seen an unprecedented lifting of living standards in the last few decades. And what about the billions of people around the world who have been lifted out of poverty thanks to capitalism?
Yes, that's true. Most of those people are in Asia, in Southeast Asia, China, places like that. Absolutely true. Of course, there are vast areas of the world where that's not happened. Of course, I mean, just look at the African continent, large areas of India. So there's still a lot of poverty around the world, and the success that sort of Chinese capitalism has had over the last 30 years, and I use the word capitalism quite deliberately because it's not a communist society. I would argue it's never been a communist society despite what it claims. But their success has come at a price. It's come at a price for the population of China. It's come at a price for the environment. In fact, China is quite indicative of how capitalism sort of makes it. It only knows how to pursue profit. It's driven by the private pursuit of profit, which is creating. And I think this is where Greta Thunberg is making. This is the point she's making: is it's creating a sort of global tragedy of the commons. And capitalism isn't able to operate any other way because the drive for profit is built into it. And if capitalist companies don't try and grow, they will die. They know that. So they have to do it. Now, these are private private companies are acting not in concert with other companies. They're acting privately, often secretively. So no one can really see what's going on. Economists can't really guess what's going on. They really, you know, economics is really about sort of enlightened guesswork. And what people like me argue is that the, you know, because capitalism has done such an amazing job of developing technology to the point we're at now, you know, let's make no bones about it. It has done an amazing job of that. But it's now created a situation where we could actually make everything free. And by doing that, we would be able to make people free, all of us. So we wouldn't be economic slaves, equivalent of economic slaves or wage slaves, if you like. We wouldn't have to, you know, work for bosses and go get up and go and do jobs we hate. We'd be able to choose sort of fulfilling lives. We'd be able to do what we want to do. But all of this would have to involve the abolition of the things that make the market economy work. So we're talking about markets. We're talking about private ownership of useful wealth. I don't mean, you know, private ownership of, you know, somebody else's trousers or something silly, but, you know, useful wealth, important wealth. And basically the abolition of money as well, because money is part of, you know, if you didn't have money in capitalism, you'd have to have some silly barter system. So we're talking about a change, lock, stock and barrel, from capitalism onto what we think of as an upgrade, a better version of society that actually supplies the needs of the people in it rather than the sort of desires of a very tiny elite. So
Jonathan Davis, let's make everything free and we'll all be free. Scrap capitalism and get rid of money altogether, says Paddy Shannon.
Well, as the lady said, he would say that, wouldn't he? What he also said was, and I was absolutely delighted to hear it, that capitalism was incredibly successful at bringing the majority of folk out of poverty. The heyday of capitalism in Britain and Europe was, of course, the second half of the 19th century. Britain, of course, created the modern industrial economy. Before that, for thousands of years, we had a feudal system. You had the king, the court. These guys were incredibly wealthy. And then you had everyone else. And they were in poverty. They died by the age of 35. They were always ill. They never had enough to eat and so on. And then over 100 or 200 years, practically everyone in Great Britain in those days got wealthier. We got the middle class, which we'd never had before. So you know where I'm going with this. Then we go forward to the second half of the 20th century, when unfortunately they dismantled capitalism. The idea that we have capitalism is a nonsense. What, Paddy, I'm sorry, sir, what you're confusing is capitalism with corporatism. Corporatism is where the state and the large corporate, Mussolini called it fascism, get together and they decide, the politicians and the business elite, or more particularly the financial elite, the banking elite, they decide what's going to happen and they take all the spoils. If we had capitalism, I tell you, no one would have been bailed out as in 2008, when in fact the top 1% was bailed out. And it happened again in 2020. You know, in the United States, they printed $10 trillion. The top 1% got 40% of that. This is not capitalism. Mark, for capitalism, we need failed businesses to go bust. And therefore, you have from the ashes, you have the new businesses coming and taking over with far lower costs of capital
with the opportunity to grow and develop from a far lower cost base. That is the capitalism that we had for 200 years. That is why we don't have capitalism. If only we had it. The sheer idea that we should end it is in itself a nonsense.
Okay, and would you want to respond to that, if you'd like to come back on the point made by Jonathan Davis, Paddy Shannon, and all the points he's just made?
Well, I'll just make a couple of points, really. I mean, in the first case, I think we're sort of diverging a little bit on definitions here. What I would describe capitalism as, the way I would describe capitalism, is in really basic terms as a system of society based on the production of commodities for sale on a market. Now, you can see from that really basic sort of definition that that would describe all of the so-called communist countries, Soviet countries, China, North Korea even. You know, they've all got money. They all sell, produce commodities for sale on a market. So they're all capitalists, according to my definition. And I think what you're describing is a sort of flavor of capitalism. And it seems to me that, you know, the kind of sort of small capitalism that you're describing from the sort of 200 years ago, I mean, if I can give a sort of analogy to this, it's a little bit like, you know, when a bunch of people play Monopoly and it starts off and everybody's got a bit of money, you know, and everybody does a bit of buying and selling, and it's all really good fun. And then right towards the end of the game, what happens is you've got practically everybody's been kicked out of the game and you've got one person or two people with loads and loads of money.
Okay.
And it's no fun for anyone anymore. So
okay,
what I'm just saying is that capitalism, small capitalism 200 years ago, was inevitably going to turn into this. And if you try to wind the clock back 100 years, all that you would do is put off the inevitable and it would again turn into what it is today.
Paddy, I hear what you're saying, but if we were to get rid of capitalism, to get rid of money, who's going to pay the wages of nurses and bankroll the NHS, pay for schools, and of course, policing, defence, you name it? And can you name a successful socialist economy at any point in history?
Well, I think as I've just explained, there has never been a socialist country in history, because there's never been a socialist country in the last 300 years that didn't produce commodities for sale on a market with a view to realizing a profit. There's never been a country that didn't do that. And what we're suggesting is
Chairman Mao's China not socialist enough for you?
No. It wasn't. Well, no, because, I mean, did they abolish money? No, they didn't. Did they abolish commodity production? No, they didn't.
It was communism.
So, you know, they said it was communism. I mean, if somebody offers you a bottle of black liquid and it says milk on the label, are you going to believe the label? People tell lies, you know, get over it. It's the truth.
And how do we pay for the NHS? How do we pay welfare? Okay. How do we pay for schools and police if we don't have capitalism?
Well, for example, right now, even though we've got, you know, capitalism and people work for money and they have to work for money, we've still got a volunteer workforce globally that's approximately the size of India. That's people who volunteer. That's people who do work for no money right now, even in capitalism. And what we're saying is, instead of having a buying and selling system which is divisive, sets everybody against everybody, sets country against country, and incidentally, this is why Greta Thunberg can't get any agreement over climate change, because the countries are all in competition with each other. Instead of all that, we're saying we've got the technology, we've got the know-how now to move forward beyond capitalism to a society where we can actually share everything without money. So people can do socially useful things in the way that they want to do them. People who want to be nurses can go into being nurses. People who want to be airline pilots can train to do that. People who want to sort of be computer programmers or artists can choose to do that. We don't have to be we don't have to be forced into work that we probably don't like out of terror of poverty. And let's be clear. Terror of poverty is what drives capitalism, and it drives people to work in capitalism. It's not envy. It's not desire to be rich. It's just fear of poverty.
Okay.
That's what drives everybody.
There is, though.
So we're trying to move.
Yeah,
we're trying to move beyond
that. There is
to a
discontent, particularly among
society.
Young people, in relation to the market economy. I mentioned in the intro that young people can't get on the housing ladder. They can't get out of low-paid jobs. It's not working for millions of people, this capitalist system, isn't it?
No, and you've got, I mean, the fact is that in places like London, more empty houses.
Can I put that point to Jonathan, because the clock's against us? Apologies, Paddy. Jonathan, because capitalism isn't working for millions of people.
Well, again, we don't have capitalism. If we did, they wouldn't have bailed everyone out in 2008. House prices would be a half of where they are now. Rents would be a half of where they are now. Incomes would be such that we could afford many more and more things. The politicians, the academics, the Bank of England, they have brainwashed everyone into believing that we must have inflation. When the reality is, in the 19th century, we had deflation for most of it. By the end of the 19th century, we were incredibly prosperous. The population had never had it so good. So, you know, the fact that young people are having it incredibly difficult, and I'm not suggesting they're not, it's not because of capitalism. If we had capitalism, things would be so much cheaper.
There you go.
We don't have capitalism.
Jonathan Davis says we need more capitalism, and Paddy would like to scrap all of it. My thanks to Paddy Shannon, who's the co-editor of the left-wing Bible, The Socialist Standard, which is the official magazine of the Socialist Party of Great Britain. Thanks for your time, Paddy. Do come and see us again
Thank
soon.
You.
And the financial commentator and wealth advisor, Jonathan Davis, who's also a writer for the free Booms and Busts newsletter. Go to the Booms and Busts website, sign up for the newsletter. It's a cracking read. Brilliant stuff. What's your view? Market gbnews.uk. I'll give you the results of our text poll on that next. Lots of emails coming in. Mark says, Mark, globalism is killing off capitalism. It's being squeezed by globalists and the neo-Marxist left-wing socialist dream. Jackie says, hi, Mark. Is Paddy Shannon, your socialist guest, bonkers? If anyone can be whatever they choose to be, who's going to choose to be a cleaner? Socialism doesn't take the selfish human nature into account, says Catherine. Richard says capitalism is not perfect, but it's the best of any alternative system. Calling it racist is straight out of the mainstream media playbook to scare and intimidate people by association and exposes a tired agenda. Richard says, hi, Mark, you say you're radical, but you're not radical enough. You seem to think that there is merit in the NHS. It is nonsense. A radical government that desires to shrink the state must start with the welfare state, which is not designed to help the poor and those in need, but to benefit the middle classes. Last but not least, at this stage, Andrew says, hi, Mark, love the show. Corporatism is a form of socialism, not capitalism. Andrew, thanks for that. I'll get to more of your emails shortly.